Good morning, church family. I appreciate your understanding today. I have not been feeling well the last several days. In fact, on Friday, I finally went to the clinic and was tested and don't have COVID, but what I have seems to be worse. I have the flu and I'm contagious at least till Monday. And so we just felt this would be the best way to communicate. And I certainly wanted to wrap up this series with you and what God has put on my heart to complete what we've been talking about over the past several weeks. I certainly appreciate Mac and our team being able to make this happen. My calling as a pastor and preacher is very much centered on being present. And so it grieves me that I'm not with you today in person. But this is the closest thing we could come to for today. And so, again, I appreciate your understanding. I am feeling better, but not completely well yet. And so if I start coughing here momentarily, please forgive me. We began this series back at the beginning of this month talking about this idea of inside out, of living our faith out and how we do that. How well do we follow Jesus day in and day out? Sometimes we do that very well. Other times maybe we don't do it as well as we would like. And so my challenge for myself and for each of us this coming year, over the next 11 months now, is that the sometimes of really following Jesus outnumber the other times of where we don't do that as well. And so I just want to challenge each of us to make this a part of our journey this year, that we truly strive to become more like Jesus. It starts with us. And so my prayer for myself and for each of us is to increase our desire and our passion to know Jesus more fully, to love Jesus more deeply, and to follow Jesus more closely. And I've shared with you six words that I want to each of us to have in front of us this coming year. The first set is look in. Examine yourself, as Paul tells us. Examine yourself and see, how is it with my soul? Am I truly following Jesus as I should? And then the second set of words are look up. Look up to God for clarity, for direction, for courage. And then look out. Look at all of the opportunities that surround us each day in following Jesus and serving Him and serving others, reaching out into our sphere of influence, whether that be at work or at school or even when we're just out and about in a restaurant or at the grocery store. How can we be the hands and feet of Jesus and show the love of Jesus where we are and as we are going through our daily lives? That's really the Great Commission. As we are going, make disciples. And so with that said, what will be your impact this year? What difference will you make this year? I believe at the heart of each and every individual is a desire on some level to make a difference, that at the end of our lives that we will look back and know that it mattered that we were here. There's not a better way to do that than following Jesus and living for Him each day. And so what difference will you make in this coming year? Will you be closer to Jesus on December 31st than you are today? What impact will our church have? How will we reach into our community? How will we be a family that lives life together as we follow Jesus in community? What impact will we make? The results of our lives, the contribution we can make in this world depends on us looking in, looking up, and looking out. Helmut Tillich, a prominent German theologian, Protestant theologian, and actually he was the rector of the University of Hamburg for a time in the middle to late 20th century. He said the Christian stands not under the dictatorship of a legalistic "you ought," but in the magnetic field of Christian freedom under the empowering of the "you may." Think about what he's saying there. Don't miss the significance. What an honor it is for us to be saved by God and to be his masterpiece for his purposes. We talked last week about each of us having a purpose. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll go all the way back to verse 8, because we don't want to ever forget that it is not by works that we are saved, but by faith. Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But listen to this. "For we are God's handiwork, his masterpiece." The Greek word is poema, masterpiece, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Please bear with me. Our text for today kind of follows up with that. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 say, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Think about that for a minute. You are the light. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus is recorded as giving what are known as the I am sayings. Things like, "I'm the good shepherd, I'm the gate, I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And in chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." How important it is, I believe, that he, in the Sermon on the Mount, calls us the light of the world. We, as his followers, are to reflect him. Do others see his light in us? The word here for light is this bigger concept of illumination. In fact, the verb form of the word here means to shine on, to reveal, to make known, to enlighten, to illumine. The qualities of this light truly do uncover what is hidden. It reveals what sometimes we would rather not be revealed. It illuminates. Darkness cannot overcome his light. Many years ago, I was a child, and my father taught junior high boys and high school boys Sunday school in our church where I grew up. And the benefit of that for me was that when he did different things with those guys, I usually got to tag along, my brother and I both. And we did fishing trips and we did different things. But one of the things that I have never forgotten was he took that group to the Carlsbad Caverns, but not to the main caverns. He contacted the park, and there are caverns there that are accessible only by an appointment and a hike, and a park ranger has to go with you. And I'll never forget that group of boys hiking up the side of that hill, about a mile or so. And when we got to the opening of the cave, we had to scale down into the cave on a rope ladder. Looking back on that, I'm not sure my dad was thinking clearly, but nonetheless, when we got into the cave, the park ranger led us to the farthest most part of the cavern, and she had us sit down and then turn off our flashlights. And after about 2 minutes, your eyes begin to adapt to the dark, and it is the closest thing to total darkness that you can really experience on the face of the earth. We were there, and it was just oppressive. You could almost feel your breath, it seemed. It was very impressional. It made a huge impression on me. But then what happened next changed my understanding of light and darkness forever. The park ranger simply lit a match and lit a candle. And that one little candle illuminated the entire cavern. You see, darkness can't overcome light. Light will always overcome darkness. And Jesus' light overcomes all darkness. As he said, I am the light of the world. He who walks in my light never walks in darkness. And so he calls us to be his light, to reflect his light and his love. What an opportunity for us. What a calling. What a privilege for us. It's not something we have to do, as Helmut Tilke said. It is something we get to do. And so I want us to remember that we are called to be his light, and that is such a privilege to bear his torch. Don't ever forget that you are called to be his light, to shine in a very dark place, and to show folks grumbling around and groping around in darkness that there's a better way, that there is light, and it does make a difference. As Jesus' followers, you are chosen to reflect his light. Don't ever forget that. We are to let our light shine. He says in verse 14, "Your light, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Let your light shine before others." Our light is meant to be shared. He didn't call us the light of the world for us to hide that light in the four walls of a church or in the four walls of our home. He called us to show the world what light looks like. He called us to be the light in a dark world. Our light is to be on a stand, to offer light to all who are around us. We shouldn't hide our light or shrink from that responsibility. We are to let our light shine. We are to be an example of the love of Jesus. You may be the only Jesus that some people see this week. Think about that for a minute. What kind of witness will you be as you shine your light? That is what we are called to do. In James chapter 2, we're reminded that our faith does no good if it is not exemplified through our works, through our light shining out. James says, "What good is it, brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. What good is it if we have a light and we hide it under a bowl? What good is it if we try to be undercover Christians? Jesus says, 'You are the light of the world,' a light that should be put on a stand so that others can see him. We point the way to him. So shine your light in the dark world wherever you go. This is the impact that we must make, the difference that we must make. Verse 16 of our text says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and what? Praise your Father in heaven." You see, it's not about us. It's never about us. It's always about him. We need to remember that our light is to point others to him. The result of shining your light into a dark world will be people turning to him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. It's our job as his light to point people to him, to lift him up so that they can see what it means to follow Jesus, so that they can see who Jesus is and what he has to offer. We need to be focused on the people around us. Our light, again, our light is not for us. It's for others. Who are we reaching out to? There are people in your sphere of influence every day that are living and dying without Jesus. That ought to burden us. We have the light. We have the truth. Jesus just says, share it. Let your light shine before others so that they will see your good deeds and praise God. We must be pointing people to Jesus, reaching out and showing them the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus. He says, they may see our good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. Our light should always lead to Jesus and not to glorifying ourselves. As I said, it's always about him and never about us. I've been wrestling with a question, a haunting question, through this time of preparation for this sermon today. And this question that I keep coming back to, and I wrestle with it, and I challenge you to not shrink back, but wrestle with it for yourselves. And that question is this: how many people encounter me and go away praising God? How many people encounter me and go away praising God? That is a haunting question. He says here, if we should let our light so shine that people see our deeds and praise God. I know each of us strive and each of us work at being used by Jesus, by following him and showing his light and growing to be more like him and following him more closely and loving him more deeply. This prayer that I offered at the beginning that we should be praying. But is the result of that hearts that are changed, hearts that are turned toward Jesus? I pray that they are. I do. As I said, I have wrestled with this, and I challenge you not to just shirk it off, but truly wrestle with this. Do people become more closer to Jesus because they know you? Or is there a difference? Is there an impact? What moments are you making, will you make this week and the weeks to come, being a light in a dark world? Moments in serving, moments in investing in people, inviting people. And by the way, if you would, I know we've mentioned this regularly, but we love to hear those stories. Share those moments with us. There's a way to do that online through our website. There's a form that you can share on the link tree there that share those moments that we can celebrate with you. And usually we don't use names, but we'll publish those so that the whole church family can be edified in knowing that we're making moments. And so I encourage you to share those. There's obviously the moment cards out in the Welcome Center. The moment wall that you can share there. As I've said, that's the only wall we want you writing on in the church. So thank you for that. But share those moments with us because we love celebrating what God is doing in and through our family. How will you invest? How will you invite? How will you truly serve and share as you are the light and in the world around you? We live in a very dark world that needs the light of Jesus, and he has called us, given us the privilege to be that light and to point others to him. DNOW is coming up in just 2 weeks. How can you be a light to the students? Maybe it's just simply praying for them. Maybe it's offering rides. I know Micah has got things organized. I don't know how much help he really still needs, but if you're willing, certainly talk to him and see if he can plug you in somewhere. How could you pour into the lives of students for DNOW weekend? But the minimum, I would say, is pray for them. Pray that this weekend will be a time of renewal for them, of strengthening for them, that those who may not know Jesus would come to know him personally through that ministry. We mentioned last week that we're ready to launch the modern service again. That will happen on April 7th, the Sunday after Easter. How can you be involved in that process? Who are you inviting? Who are you reaching out to? Who are you praying for? As I mentioned last week, think of one or two people that you feel may be lost and begin to pray for them and look for ways to be light to them. Look for opportunities to share that light verbally, just in telling your story, sharing with them what Jesus has done for you, what difference he makes in following him each and every day. Who are you pouring into? Where are you shining your light? When you reflect the light of Jesus, others are drawn to him. That is our calling. And it's a privilege. We are to be light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will never walk in darkness. And then he says, you as my followers, you are the light of the world. What a privilege to be called into this ministry of being light to a world that desperately needs his light and his love and his hope and his peace. My challenge for us today is go and make a difference every day by being a light in all you do. Go and make a difference every day by being a light in all you do. The world needs his light, and we are called with the privilege of bearing that torch and being his light. Again, I thank you for putting up with the weak voice and the coughing. I apologize, but I felt it was so important for me to share this word with you. God has called us with a mighty calling and a privilege. And I want nothing more for myself and for you and our church family. Be right in the middle of his plan, his dream, his calling for us. That our church would truly reach people that we're not reaching now. It starts with each of us inviting those that we know that need to be in a community that supports them, that is focused on discipleship. So thank you again for bearing with me through this time. As we move into the response time, Chris and John will be at the front of the sanctuary. I would ask in just a moment for you to stand and respond to Jesus' call as you feel led. But Johnny is going to sing a song that he's actually written. And so just listen and let him sing this song over you as you reflect on God's call on your life and the privilege it is to be his light in the world around us. Let me pray with us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for an opportunity, even though it's not ideal, for me to still be with our family today in this way. Lord, I thank you for the calling that you have placed on our lives. I thank you for the privilege that you have included us in this opportunity to be your light in a world that desperately needs your light. So find us faithful in that. Lord, renew within us a passion, a deep desire to know you more fully, to love you more deeply, and to follow you more closely. Lord, give us that desire so that when we look back on this year in December, we will be able to see how you have grown us and shaped us and used us to make a difference in our community and in our world. Thank you for this privilege. Again, find us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.